Ladies and gentlemen, what are your building plans? Today, I want to talk with you about building for eternity. In a very real sense, life is a building process. A building begins with plans, and so must life have its plans, its aims, and its purposes. A building must have a foundation, so must life, if it is to be stable and worthwhile. A building requires work. Life, in its worthwhile sense, requires work. In the erection of a building, a person may quit before the building is completed. Many do this with the building of their life. Some quit in the very middle of the process of building a life. An unfinished building is an embarrassment to its builder. An unfinished life is an embarrassment and a loss to its owner. A building must be built well if it is to stand securely against the wind, the rain, and the storms that may beat against it from time to time. There are many allusions to building in the Bible. I invite your attention to some of them. The sweet singer of Israel declared, "Except Jehovah build the house, they labor in vain that built it. Except Jehovah keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." Psalms 127, verse 1. In a predictive prophecy relative to the coming and establishment of Christianity, Isaiah the prophet declared, chapter 28, verse 16, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, of sure foundation. He that believeth shall not be in haste." Paul the Apostle stated in 1 Corinthians 3:9 through 15, "For we are God's fellow workers, ye are God's husbandry, God's building, according to the grace of God which was given unto me as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let each man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. But if any man buildeth on the foundation, gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, stubble, each man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it is revealed in fire. And the fire itself shall prove each man's work what sort it is. If any man's work shall abide which he built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire." In the writing of the Bible, again I say, there is reference to the building or buildings. In 1 Peter 2:5 we read, "Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Jude says in Jude 20, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Now, let us observe some applications. One, in building for eternity, we must build with a plan, with a purpose. Three men were once erecting a wall to a building. When asked what was their perspective as a builder, one said that he was just making a living on his job. A second man said that he was trying to get that part of the wall completed. And the third man said that he was working toward putting up a building in which the Word of God would be preached. Now may I ask, which was concerned about eternity? Now, in building for eternity, we must build with a spiritual plan in mind. This is what the masses are failing to do today. There is no spiritual dimension in the lives of many families in the world today. No wonder there are so many failures in marriage. There is no spiritual dimension to the lives of many fathers and mothers. No wonder they fail as parents. Homes void of spiritual dimensions are not the proper training grounds for boys and girls in childhood. It therefore ceases to be a wonder as to why many youth do not recognize the God of heaven and respect true Christianity. Millions of youth today have been taught to remember God in their youth as Jehovah God, like Solomon counseled in Ecclesiastes 12. But millions have not been taught to recognize this great principle of life. Too many homes today are building upon the God of materialism. Gold is preferred to God. Silver is transferred and treasured above the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Gadgets are given the priority over the gospel of God's Son. Money is more important than salvation. Physical food is preferred over the bread of life. Shelter for the head is preferred over the church, God's ark, the spiritual safety for those who would be saved in this Christian dispensation. Clothing of a material nature is preferred over the fine robes of righteousness for the spiritual man. There is not enough room in any heart for both dictated materialism and deep spirituality. It is estimated that 100 years ago in America, the average American family had 17 necessities and another 50 things on their want list. Now the American family has over 100 necessities with over 500 things on the want list. Quite a change, isn't it? Materialism, to a great extent, has taken the place of the Messiah in our land. The instructions of our Lord in Luke 12:13-21 are so desperately needed in our materialistic world today. The Bible says, and I say, are you listening? And one out of the multitude said unto him, Teacher, bid my brother divide the inheritance with me. But he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and keep yourselves from all covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and he reasoned within himself, What shall I do, because I have not where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast many goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou foolish one, this night thy soul is required of thee, and the things which thou hast prepared, whose shall they be? So he is that layeth up for treasures for himself, and is not rich toward God. This successful farmer made two grievous mistakes. He thought he could feed his soul upon physical food. He thought he had a long lease on life. He was mistaken about material riches in contrast to spiritual success. He left God out of his future. He thought of himself and himself alone. Life is not worthwhile when built on materialism. How shall we build for eternity? Build yourself into a real man, a real woman. Be a spiritual person with a godly purpose in life. Be a man, my son, or be a woman, my daughter, has been the crying need for every generation. Such is an imperative need in our permissive and soft society today. What is involved in being a real man or a real woman? Jeremiah, the prophet of God, a long while gone, said in Jeremiah 5:1, Run ye and to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and how, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be one that doeth justly, and seeketh truth, and I will pardon her. A real man was hard to discover in the final days of Judah as a nation. Real men are difficult to find even today in many places. Paul supplies another insight to this matter in 1 Corinthians 13, when he said, Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. The real man is vigilant. He stands tall and fast in the faith. He behaves like a man. He is spiritually strong. What he does is done from the framework of love. Although these qualities to form the guidelines of building yourself into a real man or a real woman are essential, only the individual himself can thus build himself for eternity. Building for eternity requires the proper and consistent building of a Christian character. Let us remember that reputation and character are not the same. Reputation is what other people believe us to be. Character is what we really are. What God knows about us and what we really are is character. It is said that character is somewhat like an icicle. Both are formed a little at the time. Each drop of character reflects what has been put into it. In the case of the icicle, it will be pure if the snow has been pure from which it forms. But if the snow has been filled with filth and soot, then the icicle will reflect the same filth and the same dirt. The same is true with character. Character can only be beautiful if beauty is built into it. But if into character has been built filth and degeneracy of humanity, then such will be reflected in the unwholesome and unholy life. Someone has very well said that we sow a thought and reap an act. We sow an act and reap a habit. We sow a habit and reap a character. We sow a character and reap life. We sow a life and reap a destiny. We sow a destiny and reap an eternity. How vastly important is the building of Christian character, a factor involving the destiny of the souls for eternity. Yes, in building for eternity, we need strong Christian homes today who will join hands with the Church of our Lord in preparing souls for eternity. The home and the church should complement each other in this vastly important work of soul saving. There are more pressing needs in our time for loyal churches devoted to Christ and Christian homes devoted to God. Christianity seeks to form the Christ and His concepts in the true life of disciples of Christ. Christ needs to be formed in our thinking process. He needs to be formed into our speech patterns. He needs to be formed into our daily deportment. To the Philippian church, the apostle declared, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Beloved, are you listening? Have you ever thought about what this passage would be like with Christ blotted out of the picture? The purpose of life would be destroyed because the true living is Christ, according to this apostolic affirmation. Without the Christ, there would be no gain in death. Death would simply be a leap into the never-ending darkness without Christ. Near the conclusion of the Philippian epistle, the veteran apostle declared, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." Philippians 4, verse 13. Christ is the strength in building for life and eternity. In the successful living of the Christian life, we are building for eternity. In building for eternity, we are to be building for a destiny with God and not with the devil. A destiny with the redeemed and not the unrighteous. For the destiny of happiness and not one of endless misery and everlasting anguish. But how can one build this life for eternity? The answer is twofold. One, we must obey God, obey the gospel by hearing the word of the Lord, believing in the Christ, the Son of the living God, repenting of our sins and confessing faith in Christ, and being immersed in water unto the remission of our sins. You know, Jesus said, "Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And on that memorable day of the origin of the Lord's church, the apostle commanded, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ, unto the remission of your sins." Ladies and gentlemen, that is the beginning of building for eternity. Then, we must walk in the light as the Lord is in the light. Only then will the blood of Christ continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. With regularity and faithfulness, we must live for the Lord each day. The writer of Ecclesiastes 12:13 expressed the whole of man very well indeed when he said, "This is the end of the matter. All hath been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Or, "This is the whole of man." The man who truly fears God and keeps His commandments is the person who is building for time and eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, what are you building for? On what are you building today?